One Laughter Award, one Poke Award, and three Sony Awards.
Oh, look at us, we've got an award from the man.
1.7 gazillion confirmed listeners and rising.
One text in, it just says WTF.
After countless early starts and possibly too much coffee.
If you're in bed, just remain where you are.
The bigger and better XFM Breakfast Show with Danny Wallace. Now from 6 a.m.
It's not good news, is it?
It's not good news.
That's great news.
Danny Wallace.
Hello and welcome to podcast number 48 from the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace. On this week's podcast, Suede, Rhys Darby, Tony Hawk's Quizface, the return of Jason's boring dreams. We'll find out what you'd like your partner to smell like. There's a lot of swearing like this. No.
What, are you going to beat this out?
No, the gentle swearing.
Oh, sorry.
Do some gentle swearing.
Darn it.
Oh, for goodness gracious me sake.
Oh, blinking flip.
Oh, for the heck of noodle bears.
Enjoy it, beerswhacker.
Oh. Yes, we are XFM. Danny Wallace.
I don't get out much.
No.
I don't get out much. You know, it's not, nothing to be sad about. Nothing to be sad about. Why wear that tear, Matt Dyson?
Okay.
Just saying, when I do get out, it's great, you know?
Yeah.
Paint the town red. Go for it, you know?
Got a lot on.
Got a lot on. Got a toddler, you know, that keeps you indoors.
Yeah.
Got a breakfast show.
Mm-hmm.
Means you've got to be tucked up at some point, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know? Responsible does. Broadcaster, that's
yeah,
me.
Yeah.
Responsible father. So, when someone comes around to the house, it's a bit of a big deal. It's a bit of an event. It's great, yeah. You know? You might get some takeaway. Open some wine, that kind of stuff.
Nice.
You know? Put the box sets away.
Yeah.
You know, let the fun begin.
Really go for it.
Really go for it. But then you realise that actually there's stuff going on that you don't know about out there. You know, there's things that's happening. Now I keep myself abreast of everything that's going on with talking to the likes of you two. You know, I now know that outdoor ping pong is very much what the young people are doing.
Are we your only source?
You're pretty much it,
that's
yeah.
That's worrying.
No, but the papers, and you know, I wander the streets, I pound the streets, I see what's happening, you know? But then we had someone come round just a few nights ago, and it's one of my wife's best friends, you know, and she doesn't have a kid, and she's an artist, and she's out there, you know? And at one point, she was chatting away, and I noticed that she used the word juicy, right, to describe something good, you know, and I was like, that's an unusual word. But, you know, I'm a gracious man. I let it slide. Ordinarily, boom, I'd have pounced. But no, I thought, I'll let this one go. Juicy. It doesn't sit well with me. And then, at the end of the night, you know, she went, anyway, it's getting a bit latey. I might have to call a taxoir. And I couldn't let it. I couldn't let that go.
Taxoir.
And it was going through my head, this whole phrase. It's getting a bit latey.
Latey?
I'm going to have to call a taxoir. A taxoir.
A taxoir.
Who's saying taxoir? And I said to her, "What's the tax? Why are you saying taxoir? Who's saying taxoir?" And she took offence. Oh. And she made a sweeping gesture towards the window. And she went, "That's what people are saying out there." And I knew for a fact there's no one outside my window. No one was out. Why would people be outside my window just going taxoir, right? She's a fool to herself, this woman. So she's saying, you know, I'm out there. I know what's happening. And I'm going, I'm pretty sure that, you know, I mean, I was out there not too long ago, but people weren't saying latey or taxoir.
Or juicy.
Or juicy. Or, and it gets worse, NQR. Are you saying NQR? What? Who's saying NQR?
What's that?
She's saying NQR. She says that people are saying NQR.
What's that?
Not quite right.
Oh, right.
Something not quite... Something NQR about that, she'll say. But in the time it takes to explain what NQR means, you might as well have just said not quite right. There's something NQR about saying NQR. It's NQR squared, and it has to stop, right? So I'm going, well, what are these phrases? How long have I been out of the loop? When did everyone start saying taxoir?
Taxoir.
No one says taxoir.
They do.
Well, she says that's what they're saying. We've already got a £5 flat fee fine system, but I think we should move to a system of arrests for things like that.
It used to intensely annoy me.
I said the other day as well, didn't I, about imagine being married to someone who said yonks.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yonks, yeah.
And then you wouldn't be able to say anything for yonks, in
for
fact.
For yonks, yeah.
XFM.
Good morning. You are with the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace, and I am proud, delighted to welcome to the important broadcast only XFM's favourites, Brett and Matt from Suede. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Very good, thank you.
Yeah, I'm pleased. I'm very pleased that you're well. Thanks also for coming in today.
Well, thanks for having us.
Don't be silly.
Bright and early.
Yes, exactly. We will start, I think, by creating an awkward moment
which may well bring tension.
I love awkward moments. Yeah.
Well, here's the awkward moment in question.
My favourite sort of moment.
Please enjoy this one. Although, Matt, I think you'll enjoy it less. As a little thing, Umbro very generously given us gifts to give to our esteemed guests. Here's the first one. This is an England top with Anderson on the back.
Wonderful.
That's
very
all
much.
Yours.
Yeah. That's really good.
Yeah, it's
yeah,
good.
I love that. Thank
good.
You very much. Stage wear there.
Yeah, it's
yeah
nice.
Exactly. Yeah.
And
that was quite awkward, wasn't it?
And Matt.
Yes.
There's
waiting with his hand out.
Yeah.
You can borrow it.
I can look at it on Sunday.
We can adapt.
Well, Matt, I wanted to head this off at the pass, this awkward moment here. Because, Umbro, they weren't to know.
That's really nice.
It's
sense.
Your own little sort of Satsuma. I've got your name on the back there.
An Umbro orange.
I've even done the Umbro logo, which I shouldn't have done. But, you know, nevertheless, it remains a generous gesture.
It's a collector's item.
Is that the famous three spiders of the England pair?
Yeah, absolutely. He's using humour there to diffuse what is an awkward moment. Guys, thank you so much for coming in. Hop Farm, Sunday. It's your UK date, your only UK date. Yeah. Why only Hop Farm?
I think it was the only festival we could do where we were the youngest people. I mean, that was one of our favourite things, about that we're the young whippersnappers.
Exactly. I hope you're not on during countdown.
The new kids on the block, sort of.
But I don't know, it's got a great reputation. You know, we did Latitude last year and we absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
It was one of my favourite gigs of the year. And Hop Farm just looked like it was going to be absolutely great. It was a really good lineup. It's in, you know, Tunbridge Wells, the most rock and roll town in Britain.
Yeah.
You know, it's all good.
And China, before that, it's the classic thing. You go from China, you warm up in China, is that right? And then you go straight to Tunbridge
Wells.
That's
right. We needed we got this big festival gig in England, so we thought we needed a warm-up show. So we booked a show in China.
Right.
And basically, as far away from England as possible so no one can see us making mistakes.
But 2010, you refought. 2002 was your last album.
Yeah.
What's going on with you, clowns? Come on, it's been 10 years.
Well, we're working on it.
Really?
Yeah, we're working on a new album, so.
You're working on the album right now. What can you tell us
currently,
about that?
What can we tell you? We haven't finished it yet.
Right.
But it's kind of very exciting. It's basically a kind of a suede record. We're not trying to reinvent.
It's a good start, isn't it?
Well, you know, we're not kind of trying to reinvent ourselves or anything. I think, you know, if you know, five albums in, six albums in or whatever, often there's a tendency that people sort of like, you know, going to get bored of the formula and they want to reinvent themselves. And I think that we're always kind of best when we're kind of making kind of twisted rock music, so that's what it is.
XFM. Hey, shall we do our £5 flat fee fines? Yep. Just reflecting what's going on out there, you know?
It's Negative Friday. It's not, you know, people aren't feeling positive enough for good news today.
Well, let's take that negativity.
Yeah.
Flip it, reverse it, turn it into action, yeah?
And money, yeah.
And money, make a profit. Matt, what is your £5 flat fee fine?
Estate agent flyer people, you blooming dumbos.
Oh, language.
The no junk mail sticker above my letterbox includes you.
Yes.
I'm not going to pass on your request to sell my flat to my landlords anyway, because I want to stay there.
Yeah.
So please leave me be.
Yeah, you junk peddlers.
£5.
What do you call them, blooming dumbos?
Yeah, that's what they are.
Gosh, you're angry, aren't you? I always know when you start using language like that, very close to the bone language.
On the radio.
Blooming dumbos.
Should apologise.
Calm it down. £5 flat fee fine. Hey, people you casually arrange to have a drink with like ages ago, even though you both probably know it's not going to happen, who then don't mention this long-standing arrangement for ages and ages, leading you to believe it's probably not going to happen, you've got away with it, but then text you the night before to tell you what time they're going to be there, meaning because you haven't cancelled, because you didn't want to be that guy who just cancels all the time, now you have to go. Yeah, maybe mention the long-standing arrangement. Yes, I could have mentioned it too, but I didn't want to be that guy. It's up to you to be that guy. £5, please, and have it ready when I get there.
XFM Music News.
Go!
Yeah, okay, yeah, so organisers of the Isle of Wight Festival have been delivering food and drink to people who've been sleeping in their cars overnight in long queues as they try to get to the festival site. It sounds hellish. All day yesterday. I mean, it was raining, the boats couldn't stop, they couldn't dock because there were so many cars at the port. It's been headlined by Tom Petty, Pearl Jam and Bruce Springsteen.
It just gets worse.
Elsewhere, new Mumford and Sons, yes. It's dad rock, you know, there's nothing wrong with dad rock. It's a guilty pleasure for many.
Oh, man. Well, we're all here, aren't we? Might as well plough on. Might as well do it. It's Matt's Music News.
Music News.
Let's get it out of the way.
Do you like the way I sold it?
Yeah, get out of the way. We all get on with our days.
Building excitement.
Yeah. So, the organisers of the Isle of Wight Festival, or the Isle of Wet Festival. That's what I've been calling it. They've apologised. Anyway, they've apologised for the chaos caused by the heavy rain.
We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet. XFM.
Let's do this. Good morning, you're with the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace. And I tell you what, he is here. He is a gentleman, he is a scholar, he's a part-time acrobat, used to be full-time, could have gone pro, chose not to. It's Rhys Darby! Hi, Rhys.
Thank you.
How are you?
Very excited to be here.
On a scale of your own choosing, how excited is that?
I'm going with the scale of 50.
Yeah.
And 50 being the most excited.
Yeah, 50 is a derby. They call that a derby.
It's the full derby.
Yep.
I'm coming in at 49.
Ooh.
So I think after another coffee,
yeah,
a couple more compliments and I could hit the 50.
Oh, well, it's a strong showing, isn't it? It's a strong showing of 49. We've never had that. Rhys, you are over here. Ordinarily you split your time between New Zealand and Los Angeles. That's how glamorous you are these days.
Yeah.
Just making films, writing books, doing stand-up, hanging out with film stars, all that kind of stuff. Why are you over here now?
Well, that can get a bit much, you know. Yeah. I like to come back down to Earth now and again.
That's
good
for you, yeah.
And get a sense of the chill that the British bring. So here I am here, just feeling sort of slightly at unease.
Yeah, yeah, and unsettled.
Unsettled and just sort of a little worried,
yeah.
Starting to get a bit anxious.
Yeah.
It feels good.
That's good. I'm pleased. Yeah. It's bringing you to life.
Yeah, worried about the Olympics.
Oh, don't worry.
The tubes, just the same as everyone else. I'm straight into it. I've already had a couple of beers this morning.
That's good.
So it's good to be home.
That's good. He is. Yeah, yeah. Because London was your home for how long?
For about 7 years.
Seven years.
Had my first child here.
Yes.
Finn, who you know.
Yes, Finn. Yes, absolutely. Lovely little boy.
Finn's got his own website now.
What?
He's.
What are you on about?
Time moves on, isn't it? Quick, isn't it?
He's got his own website.
Yeah, he's gone.
He's a .com millionaire.
He is. Now he's got $23 now.
Oh, good.
And he's coming to Edinburgh with us, and I've told him because we've taken him out of school for a little bit.
Yeah.
So I've said to him, right, well, you can come on this trip. You're going to lots of these kids' shows, but you must review them. That's good. So he's got his own reviewing website.
Really?
Yeah, he's got one review up there already.
Wow.
Because my wife took him to Lady Gaga. and he only stayed there for like two songs.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm out of here. It's too loud.
And why? It's an unusual thing to do, to try and raise a critic.
Mm.
Why are you putting more critics in the world? Why have you gone, tell you what the world needs. More people slagging things off.
it's purely as a learning tool for him. You know, while it's educational.
I see. Also, a great way of you getting great reviews, which you don't need for this show. I mean, it's already won the Fred Award, the big award for the New Zealand International Comedy Festival. You brought it over here. In London, you're going to be packing out the Shepherd's Bush Empire July 20th to 23rd. So there's a brand new date, the 23rd.
Wow.
That's always, do you not know about that?
Edit a date? No, I heard rumours.
Oh, really? Come on.
My management said, oh, we're thinking about adding a date. It's just a rumour at this stage.
Oh, right. Well, it seems to be fact.
Oh, it's gone in. It's been confirmed. We are...
Let's try and raise some taxes. By taxing those people who do those things. You know the ones. Those people who do those things. Mm. That's what we're talking about here.
Make them pay.
Oh, make them pay, literally. Not just figuratively.
No.
Talking literal fines. £5 flat fee fines. Matt, start us off.
Confirm listener Susan Green in Newcastle upon Tyne. Any man who wears a vest after the slightest show of summer.
Yeah.
Vests are for babies.
That's true.
Find them.
Find these people. Teacher Ellie says, Danny, when girls use so much makeup that their faces are orange, yet their necks remain white. Find the Oompa Loompas, they say. Quiet. a lot of anger and aggression this morning. Matt, you said, what was it? Blimmin' Dumbos earlier.
Yeah, I know.
Off air, I said Fiddlesticks.
Yeah.
Jeez, it's really all happening. Up. It's hotting up, isn't it? Swampy says, people who, when you ask them how they are, they actually tell you. They give you a list of ailments, list of their problems. Supposed to say fine, thanks, then move on. Yeah. Fine them, £5 each time. Nice one, Swampy.
Loads of little £5 nuggets. Dave in Hartford, the overuse of the word standard.
Oh,
middle lane hoggers on the motorway, unconfirmed listener Darren. People who use the word yonks, referring to waiting a long time.
That's what I'm
saying. It's disgusting.
Oh, can you imagine? Can you imagine being married to someone who uses the word yonks? Can you imagine?
Oh, you'd have to imagine nip it in
that.
The bud.
You'd have to nip it in the bud, but if you didn't nip it in the bud and it just became part of their personality, that's your life.
Yeah.
That's your life then, isn't it?
God,
yonks. Well, yonkers. People who stop the microwave when it's just got a few seconds left on the timer. Just be patient.
What?
Just be patient. Let the microwave do its job. What's the big rush, you bozos? It's all anonymous.
A bunch of jackwagons.
What a bunch of jackwagons.
Yeah.
These blinking ninny hammers, honestly. What else? What else, man?
People who walk four across in shopping centres, four, like, stood next to each other, eliminating the possibility of overtaking for those with things to do and places to be.
Bunch of noodle bears. What a bunch of noodle bears. Honestly. And I don't want to be too offended, and I apologise if that offends anyone.
Yeah.
But if you walk four across in a shopping centre, you're a bunch of noodle bears.
So selfish.
Selfish noodle bear jackwagons.
Twonks.
Yeah, they are. They're twonks. Ben, what is yours?
Hey, people say redonkulous. The word is ridiculous. Say ridiculous and stop saying like an idiot. £5, please.
Yeah, stop saying redonkulous.
Yeah.
If you say redonkulous, you are a buffoon-faced needle waxer.
Bunch of dingbats.
What a bunch of dingbats. What an absolute bunch of dingbats. Wow, I think we've raised the some money there and inserted several new words into the dictionary. Thank you so much. We will get those people to pay. Boris Johnson in the building, work experience, Steve. So would you mind just writing some of those down and harassing
him?
Yeah, go and confront the mayor. What did you do? What did you do at work on your work experience? I confronted the mayor in a lift and called him a ninny hammer. He didn't. You didn't. Don't do that.
We are XFL.
Goodness me! What a reaction! The rage out there.
Yeah.
TheRage.com. That was me subtly bringing one in just to anger one of
Hashtag
our Texas
rage.
Just to anger one of our confirmed listeners in particular. Matt, what phrases, according to the XFM Breakfast Show listenership, should not exist?
Well, there are two key ones that are hereby outlawed.
Okay.
Loads of people with lols and totes amazeballs.
Yeah.
I mean, they're standard.
Boom, they're out.
They are out.
We've put them to bed.
Recently, my girlfriend has been texting yup instead of yes.
Okay.
In her messages. It's well annoying. What is yup?
Yep. I'm probably guilty of that. Josh says, my fiancé used to say FYI in conversation. That's bad enough. But he's recently replaced this, right? He's replaced FYI. He's got already, right? Already. He wants to say for your information, so he's shortened that to FYI. He thinks even that's too long. So now he says effers. So, you know, instead of saying FYI, he'd go,
be bothered to say that.
Yeah, effers, I've put the bins out. Effers, your bus is going to be late. No, Matt, no! That's what I'm saying. What else is going on?
That is ridiculous. Totes my goats.
It's only fiancé, I mean, it's still time. There's still time to pull this on.
Totes my goats has become a phrase that I use far too regularly.
Yeah.
Every time I do, I get funny looks from strangers and I must hang my head in shame. But he can't stop saying totes my goats.
Totes my goats, really?
I quite like that one, though. That's from Anonymous.
That's a good one, though, because that's something that he's saying. Sparky Ball is the same, right? For a joke, he used to say, right, when bidding farewell to people, Buenos Aires, right? And at first, he thought it was very witty. But now, he can't stop saying it, and it even annoys himself. So you can't, you know, Buenos Aires! They're going, that is not an appropriate farewell gesture, is it? Terrible thing. Ian from Tottenham, his girlfriend, she despises his abbreviation of Turnpike Lane to TPL. Or, worse, the TPL.
Oh, no.
Despises it. She grew up around Turnpike Lane, and she does not feel that Ian has the right to make such a change, particularly as it's caught on with a lot of his girlfriend's friends. Oh, you're the problem, not the solution, Ian.
Yeah, some more traditional ones now. A friend in need is a friend indeed. What the hell's that about? Asked Alex in Romford.
What does that mean?
It's a good question.
Friend in need is a friend indeed. Well, no, the person who helps the friend in need is probably the friend.
Yeah. Also, Toby says he can't stand people who say sleeps, as in only four more sleeps till holiday.
It's not cute. It's annoying. Stop it. Joe from Dartford. When youths call me fam or cuz.
Oh, yeah.
Short for family or cousin. My knuckles are not dragging on the floor. We are clearly not related, you mugs, says Joe from Dartford. Yesterday, says Jen in Streatham, someone said appalls to me as an abbreviation for apologies. Not only did that not resolve the situation for which they were apologising, but it also made me want to punch them in the face.
Yes.
That's Jen.
Colin in Sutton, one of many annoyed by youths saying arcs instead of arcs or ask. It really irritates Colin, and he always makes sure he pulls people up by asking if they're Noah and paired animal obsessed.
All right.
Speak properly here in capitals.
Oh, my days.
Are you Noah?
Oh, my days. Paul from Putney says, I've always hated the term, you know what I mean, being said after a sentence. For example, I think I might use the toilet, you know what I mean? Yeah, I do. I do know what you mean. You mean you're going to use the toilet. What else could you possibly mean? I'm not a fool. Now, says Paul, I say it sometimes as well. Confirm this, and Liam, what is yours?
Younger, as in young of once. When people are doing something stupid, they say this. And also where I'm from, people call much of a mush. Just stop now, you big nit.
Yeah, stop now, you big nit. Saying much of a much. And YOLO. I've never heard of YOLO. Loads of people are going on about YOLO this morning.
Yeah,
you only live once. Very odd, very odd. Teacher Ellie. Danny, being surrounded by children means I have a whole list of them. Cheese. I don't know if I'm saying this correctly. Cheese. Allow it. Allow it. Allow it. Bun. And peak. Peak's the big one.
Oh, yeah. Someone else said peak times.
I've not heard that
Yeah,
one. Peak times. Peak times.
Peak times.
Is it good?
Times.
Is peak times good or bad?
I'm not sure, because, like,
more expensive, isn't it?
Sense.
Yeah. A lot more expensive, peak times.
It's not clear.
Stu from Chelmsford. Anyone who finishes a typed thought with, me thinks. Yeah. You are not Yoda, he correctly says. Yeah, me thinks. Yeah, peak time. What else?
Manners on the A40. I've got a mate at work who describes anything good as megalithic. With a dramatic pause, he goes, that was megalithic.
Oh, my days.
Shut up, fool.
Oh, my days. What about you, Richie?
Oh, daisies.
If I don't stop myself at the end of telephone conversations, I end it with tatty bye.
Oh, my days.
Bye.
Oh, my days. That is the opposite of dench. I'll tell you, I was talking to someone, I guess I was about 17 or something, and it was before I knew what jokes was, it was a few years ago, and then they just kept going, jokes. And they were like, say a sentence, and they go, jokes. And it was like, in my head, I was thinking, are they writing a script? And they're just going to go back later and add the jokes in. Because as far as I was just saying jokes, I couldn't work it out. Yeah, it's joke. Well, jokes. Oh, my days. That was good. I hope we've got that off our chest, everybody.
XFM.
There's a dog cafe in South Korea where, because so many people live in quite cramped conditions there, a dog or a pet seems a real luxury. So what you can do is you can go to a cafe where dozens and dozens of dogs pounce on you. They pounce on you. So that you can just kind of, and they're all desperate for human contact. They crave it. So you're pushed in one at a time into this room full of dogs, and I imagine you just spin around, and you're just given so much dog love. Sounds odd saying that.
Sounds really weird.
I should have thought it through.
You put like notes in their collar and stuff like that. They dance for you, the dogs.
No one was saying this was a sexy thing. And why was the first thing you thought of a weird kind of canine strip joint? Why is that the first thing that popped into your head?
I'm not sure. I need help.
He needs help. And then there was one more to do with animals, right? And this one is extraordinary. In California, right? And it's notoriously hard to find love in cities like Los Angeles and whatever. So an art gallery in LA is holding what they're calling pheromone parties, okay? Now, guests bring along a T-shirt that they've slept in, and other people then have to smell that T-shirt. They then pick a potential partner based on the scent, okay? And it's got its roots in science. In fact, I once did a documentary called Chimps Are People Too, and because we share so much of our DNA, an extraordinary amount, with chimps. So we did an experiment where I slept in a T-shirt overnight, and a chimp also wore a T-shirt for about a day. And we took the two T-shirts to Oxford University, where a group of boffinettes, lady boffins, smelled the T-shirts and had to determine which one they immediately, on some level, found more attractive. You know, the smell. The chimp one.
No.
The chimp. These ladies would rather have children with a chimp than with Muggins here.
Oh, nice. So, I mean, so depressing.
It was a little bit depressing, a little bit depressing. But apparently it's to do with, you know, your immune systems and qualities that the chimp had that I didn't. Right. Such as, well, probably most qualities. But it got me thinking about, you know, how we pick partners and what... Imagine if you met a girl and she smelled of the thing that you loved most in the world. Or, you know, or a gentleman, or whoever. What would be... What do you... Essentially, the texture I'm going with now, and I am going with this, is what do you wish your partner smelled of? That's what I've just said. That's the sentence. Wow. That's what we're going with. What do you wish your partner smelled of? For me, imagine waking up every morning and she just smelled like a brand new Star Wars figurine.
Oh, yes.
Box fresh.
Yes.
Every morning.
That would be amazing.
Or you just catch a waft, she just walks by and it just smells of Christmas, you know, in the living room, you know, pine needles.
Oh, you've taken me right back.
or a strawberry eraser, talking of going back, a strawberry eraser on a pencil top that I bought from the gift shop near Bosworth Battlefield when I was 9. You know the one, I brought it in.
Yeah.
Matt, what do you wish your partner smelled of?
I once went out with a girl who smelled of digestives, by the way. That's just a fact.
Wow.
You know, it was amazing.
How old was she? In her 70s?
No. It was like a curse, or it was a good thing, I thought.
That's a great thing. The girl who smelled of digestives. It's like a Roald Dahl book.
My other half to smell of the inside of my TV remote.
Oh,
I often find myself just idly sniffing it while watching the telly, you know, like the sort of clean plasticky smell inside the infrared portal. It's quite dusty.
Inside
as
the remote commander.
Yeah.
Why are you opening up the remote control and sniffing it?
No, I don't open it up. You just like sniff through the bit where the infrared.
Doesn't matter. Why are you sniffing it?
I don't know. I just do. It smells nice. Try it yourselves.
Okay, try it. If you're near a remote control, do please try that at home. Dave, what do you wish your partner smelled of?
A freshly opened tub of miniature flumps.
Oh!
I think
that's
nice.
That's very nice, isn't it? Yeah. Lots of memories coming there, flooding to the fore there for you. So, freshly opened flump tub.
Yeah, because. The marshmallow of the flumps mixing with that plasticky smell is brilliant.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, though. I mean, you know, the flumps, good. A tub of flumps, even better. But, you know, you want to sort of subtly get this across to Hannah, but do not call her either flump or tubby. Nee, that's my advice for you.
XFM.
Hello, you're still with the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace, and our guest remains the marvellous Rhys Darby. And Rhys, your brand new show. Is this your first ever UK tour, really?
Yes.
Because you were on the circuit for a long time. You've done shows. I came to see you at the Bloomsbury Theatre. Yours was the first gig that my son ever witnessed. He was in he was in the tummy.
Really?
Yeah. So you were the first jokes he heard.
Well, he would have heard that through the membrane.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Some laughing there.
Yeah. Quite a guffaw, isn't it, for an infant? Yeah. And so this one is called This Way to Spaceship.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this seems to be already, knowing you as I do, a great excuse for you to do like robot noises.
Oh, come on.
I don't mean now. I just mean generally on stage. You're just thinking, you know, I've not even written this show yet, but that's 5 minutes done.
Yeah, well, absolutely. You've got to look at your strengths. I was going to call it Here's More Robots.
Yeah.
But I'm going to save that for next year when we run out of ideas.
Yeah, you can build up to that. And the idea is that the world has just ended.
Yes.
And who should remain but...
Well, I'm alive.
Good.
I'm on a ship.
That's the first thing most people ask. If it's Armageddon, they just go, is Rhys Darby all right? Is Rhys Darby okay?
Yeah. He is. Oh, thank goodness. All right, well, I'm happy to go rebuild. As long as he's here.
So that's the idea, that you remain, and then what?
Well, I wake up on this ship, and we're in deep space, and fantastic opening to the show. I won't spoil it now by doing it.
Okay.
But you can imagine there's lighting, different lighting effects.
He's doing that now.
There's a bit of smoke, you know.
How's he doing that?
and I rise up through the ashes.
Yeah.
No ash, though.
No, no.
And there I am on this ship, and then the spaceship starts talking to me. It says, you know, what are you doing here? And I start to try and work out in my head, how did I survive the Armageddon? Why was I chosen?
Yeah.
So then I look back on my life.
Yeah.
So I transfer into sort of stand-up mode, and I come back out onto the stage and greet the crowd, greet the 1,000 people, whoever's there, you know, the 13, and say, welcome back, and then just go straight into 45 minutes worth of robots.
It's what they want. It's what they want. That's what they come for.
That's what they come for. And they've got it.
Yeah. Plus, they're ITV one, isn't it? Mad, Mad World.
Yes.
You, that's McGuinness.
Mm-hmm.
Who else?
Well, you've got that other chap, Rufus Hound.
Rufus Hound, you, Paddy McGuinness.
Rob Rouse.
Rob Rouse, excellent.
Great comic.
Yeah.
And then various celebrity hoo-ha.
Oh, lots of hoo-ha and hullabaloo.
Different types.
Yeah.
This is the first time, you know, this is my first show on British television that, you know, I was on the Concords, but this is a British
production.
Production, isn't it?
There
ITV.
You go. And, oh, hello.
Oh, there's my agent.
Do you mind? Yeah, good. Just, yeah.
Hang on, I better get that.
Yeah.
Yeah, hello. No, I'm just talking to one of these radio chaps about various things I'm doing here in Britain. Oh, you want me back in Hollywood? No, fair call. All right. No, I'm leaving now.
All right, Reese is going, everybody. He's back to Hollywood with him. It's Reese Darby, everybody.
Private jet there.
Yeah. Save it for the live show. That's why they're going.
Okay. quick robot to finish.
Here we go. Restarting. We are XFM. I'll tell you what, this is unusual. Strike the pose. Very unusual. So, I guess how long ago was it? A couple of months ago, we had to go to a strange, desolate area of East London.
Yeah, an East London warehouse.
East London warehouse, miles from anywhere. Yeah. Make our own way there. Walk into some sort of odd building where a disinterested man named Kevin took our picture. And we had to do it, just to rock up and you know, he was just clicking away. And we'd wondered what our poses should be, hadn't we, for these official photos, global radio photos.
Yeah, I was on after former Home Secretary Jackie Smith.
That's right. It went Jackie Smith, Matt Dyson.
Yeah.
And we were wondering about the poses, you know, should we be coquettish maybe with like a lollipop, just sort of a half turn wearing dungarees? Should it be the double point, you know?
Jazz hands, I think, was your suggestion at one point, Matt.
Yeah, we tried many out, didn't we?
Many, I think jazz hands was very good, but only when we cracked that, it should be a one-knee drop.
Yeah.
One-knee drop jazz hands.
That's right.
Well, the results are in. The results are in. We were sent our official photos, and they took loads and loads of them. And for some reason, they chose these. I'm just going to find them now. Let's have a look. There they are. Well, I look a little tired. And they put us side by side, which is very nice. I look a little tired. And then, for some reason, they've made Dave, like, 3 or 4 inches shorter than he is.
Yeah.
But it gets weirder still, because right there on the end, like a little Igor or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a Frankenstein sort of mad assistant. It's a tiny Matt Dyson.
Yeah. I'm not pleased with what they've done here.
And for no apparent reason, ladies and gentlemen, they've chosen one where Matt's head is inexplicably about 6 inches below his shoulders.
Yeah.
So you're sort of like, it's like, I imagine you breathe like that, and you call me master.
Yeah.
You've got, there's a grin playing around your face, which is better than Dave's, which is very serious, earnest look, almost like like the front cover of a Rick Astley, or Glenn Medeiros, something like that, some kind of album cover there. Now, Matt, talk me through your thoughts about your hunchback assistant pose.
There was only like one of the... I did many poses. Unfortunately, they went for the hunchback assistant one. I'm not sure why.
What I love about it is, right, that I got an email saying these are the ones that have been approved. And they were approved by the man at the very top of the company.
Yeah,
right? Very, very approved. An unusual level of control, I would argue. An unusual level of control that they had to go past. And then it was just this... But the thing is that he just looked at these photos and he went through all of them. And he went, that's the one. That's the one I want to represent Matt Dyson. But all the others aside, that one, that's Matt Dyson all over. And they're going, well, do you want ones where he's just standing normally? No, no. No, no. I want one where he looks like he's ringing a bell in Notre Dame. That's what I choose to represent my company.
Yeah.
That photograph of Matt Dyson.
Thanks, boss.
I mean, it looks like you're drooling. There's a lot there.
It's not good, is it?
It's unusual. So what I've done is I've had them mocked up into what they really should be. So I've had Dave's mocked up into a Rick Astley cover, and I thought we could get away with your pose, Matt, if it looks like you're sort of hunching over a kitchen counter, perhaps chopping capers. We all know how much you love capers.
Yeah.
Of course, there are your famous recipes.
Mm.
So we've put them up at facebook.com/XFM Breakfast Show. Go along, see what you think, and really question why. I mean, out of all the photos you took, that's the one the boss went, I want more of that. Yeah. I want to see more of that guy.
I'd hate to see the others. Yeah.
If that's the best, then we are in trouble.
XFM. Travel.
In the centre of town, Denmark Street is closed between Charing Cross Road and St Giles High Street because of a police investigation. And the Wimbledon Championships get underway today, so there's a shuttle bus running through to the event from Southfield Station. And a park and ride scheme, apparently. It's open from now.
I don't know why I'm telling you this.
Why are you telling us that information?
You just kept reading.
Yeah, no.
That was amazing.
Well, I mean, yeah.
You're telling us about a shuttle bus.
The fucking ride scheme's happening, right?
So you need to know, okay? Yeah, okay?
Other than that, there's not much going on, as you can tell, which is why I'm talking about public transport to get to Wimbledon. Should you fancy it?
In all seriousness, we are quite light today. We are... My question to you this morning was, what do you wish your partner smelled of? It's turning into a much more rocking feature. Smells Like Teen Spirit is... the best we could come up with for the music for this.
We had a long chat.
Just going, is there anything called, like, the smell of you? Or anyway. I mean, you're all perfectly happy with the way your partners smell. But those of you looking out for potential partners, very, very specific. Matt, what does someone wish their partner smelled of?
Well, I mean, there's quite a lot of bacon ones.
Yeah.
Quite a lot of crispy bacon. Billericay Pete's a bit more specific.
Oh, yeah.
In the morning, she should have the smell of a bacon sandwich. And the rest of the time, smell of new carpet.
I wish my partner smells of apple laces, which are available anymore. But neither's your partner. So either way, maybe if your partner was on the market, there'd be some kind of natural thing where they'd start immediately smelling of apple laces to win you back.
Who knows? Nice. A few other suggestions: pie and mash, beer and fags, petrol and two-part filler, says Luke in Angel.
Also, Rex says, I wouldn't be unhappy if my fiancé smelled like the exhaust that comes from a two-stroke motorbike. Very nice, very nice.
Yeah, Gareth says, I wish my partner would smell of creosote. Garden fence wood stain.
Again, the sexy smell of summer.
Yeah.
Danny, my ideal partner would smell of a freshly opened packet of Post-it notes. I find it reminiscent of pineapples. Has anyone ever said that before? Never heard of that.
No, I've never.
What else?
Smelled.
What else?
I too like the remote smell, says Abby the teacher.
Oh, yeah.
I'd like my partner to smell, though, of warm, salty from the sea, slightly sunburnt skin after a day on the beach.
That's nice.
That's a good call.
Raises a lot of memories for everyone. Mal says, I wish that Mark smelled of tinsel and gin. A nice Christmassy fragrance, full of hope and wonder. Also, the smell of Farley's Rusks and other baby cereals is mildly pleasing. I think for a baby, but not for your partner.
No.
Professor Burps, Bubble Works, says Mark in Sunbury. That's lovely. Lee on the M11 wishes that his partner smelled of 1980s Panini football stickers.
Yes.
Lewis and Sidcup loves the smell of Wimbledon shuttle buses. Rick wishes his had a chimp aroma. We all sort of do, weirdly. Fresh toast. More from shuttle buses. And someone just solving that mystery of the girl who smelled of digestives, saying that's actually fake tan.
Nah,
can that be real?
No, I'm sure she didn't fake tan.
No. You got any to finish there?
Just the nice one from Sad Ben in Hemelton.
Oh, what's wrong with Sad Ben?
I wish my girlfriend smelled like a combination of Play-Doh and an empty Tic Tac box. I also wish I had a girlfriend.
XFM. Although he's a friend, Although he's a friend, I, I'm worried about what Rhys Darby did. So, I don't quite know how to say this, but walking Rhys out of the studio and towards the street, something occurred. And you remember when Kirsten Dunst was on the show, Matt?
Yeah.
And Dave, I believe it was you that walked her out of the building.
I did, yes.
And there was that man who used to be here in Global Radio who would arrive with a small trolley, and he would sell fruit and nuts.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't seen him in a while. I think they realized that fruit contains sugar, and sugar provides energy, and energy is necessary in an uprising.
Yeah.
So they got rid of that little problem. But Kirsten, she reached over, didn't she, and just arrogantly stole a banana.
Yeah.
Just took a banana, didn't she?
Yeah.
She thought it was some
they
kind of weird free fruit policy.
Yeah.
Free fruit? Not at Global. No way. It's madness. So she just had this fruit and she just went. She just walked. And we got the CCTV footage, didn't we, of that? And
yeah.
We put it online and, you know, we're expecting a massive viral hit from that. I think we got about 9 hits. But nevertheless, we persevered. And then today, Rhys Darby concerns me. He concerns me. Just out there was a room and they were setting up something for, I think, clients, important clients. Mm. And so obviously there were sandwiches and there was juices and coffees. And as I walked Rhys out of the building, he just broke away from me for a second and took a sandwich.
Oof.
People looked around, took a sandwich, started to wolf it down as he walked out of the building. Now that is not on, that is theft. I didn't know what to say. There was a man looking at me. I just sort of went shh like that to him and I just hurriedly got Rhys out. Can we pull the CCTV footage from that?
Yeah.
It was the room, you know, the room near the coffee area. It was that room.
Yeah, I'll get that.
We're going to put that on the Facebook page, facebook.com/XFM Breakfast Show. And you too can see Rhys Darby stealing a sandwich from Global Radio. We should maybe also get some kind of statement from him.
I'll try my best.
As a friend, I know it was just an error of judgment.
Well.
But still, this needs to be taken care of.
XFM.
You may remember, confirmed listener, Jason. And we asked you once, what makes you boring? Why are you boring? Why are you so boring? And Jason, I mean, he was far and away the winner on that day, wasn't it? Because we've all got access to the kind of the machinations of an almost infinite amount of knowledge within our brains. We don't use as much of our brains as we can, but at night, that's when your imagination can go crazy, isn't it? You can imagine anything you want. You can dream that you're flying in a world full of dragons where clouds are made of child's tears and all this kind of stuff. Yeah. Anything you want. And yet Jason dreams of standing in a queue, of being given slightly the wrong change. Things like that, you know.
They're amazing.
Very, very normal things.
They're so dull, they're good.
They're so boring, they're actually the most exciting dreams I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
So, Jason, you know, you were in touch with Jason, weren't you, Dave, the last couple of days?
Yeah.
And we have got more of Jason's dreams. Now, I haven't heard these, neither of you, Matt,
no.
Because we like to hear them fresh, along with the listener. It just makes them even more exciting and or boring, whichever you want. And I love this guy. I love Jason. So we've got 3 more dreams, have we, Dave?
We have. Yeah.
Then please play Dream 1.
So the most recent dream that I've had is I've got to read my boss's PhD thesis. It's even typed up on an old typewriter. I think it was about quantum mechanics or quantum something or other. I don't know. We have nothing to do with science. I don't even know if he's got a PhD.
Oh, no. And he's got to be polite to his boss. He's going, I want you to read my PhD. All typed up and written on an old computer. For some reason, Jason's the guy who's got to read it. So I know nothing about this. They're nothing. Oh, that's great. Oh, man. What about dream number 2?
I had a dream recently where I went overseas. I was going to India to visit the Taj Mahal, but I got there and it was too expensive. So I basically had just let my friends go in, and just a dream of me sitting outside having a cigarette, really.
Oh, no! Oh, Jason, you went all the way to the Taj Mahal.
Oh, it started out exciting.
It did.
But then it had a dull climax.
He just sat outside. He just saw the entry prices and went, yeah, that's all right, boys. I have somehow paid for myself to get all the way to India. But do you know what? I'm not going to bother going in. It's fine. You just tell me. Just take a picture on your phone. What about the third one?
Well, I've got another one. It's kind of a recurring dream where I'm on the phone. I'm talking to either my mother or my girlfriend, and they're just telling me about their week, but really it's just my week. So they're just like, yeah, you know, tried that new salmon recipe on Wednesday. But really all they're doing is just repeating back the week that I had.
Oh, wow.
Oh, Jason.
That is amazing.
Even when he's learning new information, it's information he already knows. The main thing I'd be concerned about there, Jason, is you don't seem to know the difference between your mum or your girlfriend.
XFM.
A quick appeal. Are you a girl who smells of Play-Doh or Tic Tacs? Perhaps as a result, you found it hard to find a partner or even leave the house. But there is hope. Confirmed listener Sad Ben would like to meet you. So 83936, if you are a girl who smells of Play-Doh and or Tic Tacs. Ideally both, though. I think this could work. Imagine if you are a girl out there, all your life you smelled of Play-Doh. Finally, Ben Frimley. Probably shouldn't have given his full name there. But confirm listener Ben. Could be in with a shout.
XFM!
You're back with the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace. Our guest this morning is the marvellous comedian, raconteur, film star, yeah. Tony Hawk. He's still here. Tony.
Yes.
So many things I want to talk to you about very quickly. One is, on your website, one of the things I've always very much enjoyed is, obviously, some people listening today will, the standard thing a lot of people in Britain say when they hear your name is, I thought you meant the skateboarder. I've had that conversation more times this morning than ever in my life. Going, who's coming in? Tony Hawk. Well, the skateboarder. No, not skateboarder. But you're very polite to all these people. You get all these emails in. You reply very politely on your website. Here's one, for example. Someone just goes, "Dear Tony Hawk, can I have your autograph?" And you write back, "Dear Austin, you can have my autograph. Just as soon as we can get it fixed and running properly. As you'll be aware, the autograph is a complex piece of machinery. It's constant oiling." And you just go on and on. You're so kind of polite with these people.
Well, I don't know about that. I think there's a tongue very much in the cheek.
Yeah, exactly.
Most of these come from America, and he's Tony Hawk.
Yeah.
Okay, and I'm Tony
Singular.
Hawks. Yeah, I'm Tony Hawks, but his games are named after him. So
of
it's
course.
Tony Hawk's Pro Skater with an apostrophe. And it seems that American youth haven't grasped the concept of the apostrophe. So I sometimes, you know, just say, look, if you spend more time paying attention in English and less time on skateboards, this wouldn't happen.
I take it back. You're not always very polite.
No.
Matt Dyson, you will be aware, obviously, we've been talking about this non-stop. Morris Minor and the Majors.
Oh, yeah.
The seminal hit that group had in the late 1980s. Mm. What was it called?
It was called the Stutter Rap.
Stutter Rap. Mm. And Tony Hawk's a founding member of Morris Minor and the Majors. I owned it. Did you own it, Matt?
I owned it on 7-inch single.
Did you?
The Beastie Boys were in their pomp at the time. This was a great spoof.
It was a terrific British spoof of one of those. I had it on Now That's What I Call Music 11.
It was 11.
Whoa! That's amazing. Well, although it was later stolen when our Nissan Micra was pinched, along with the soundtrack to Back to the Future. It was later found in a reservoir in the East Midlands. The police actually accused my mother of having done it. Very odd.
You know what was really tragic? Shortly after, about 4 years after that record came out, my house was burgled, and the burglars took a load of my record collection and left.
You're kidding. Once I went down to Tony's house and he met me outside his house. He's waiting for me to serenade me with an acoustic version of Stutter Rap. Yeah. I asked you to bring your guitar in today.
I have done.
Yes. Now, Stutter Rap, do you think you could get away with it these days?
Well, you see, I don't know. I mean, even at the time, it was never very politically correct. Let's face it. And at the time, I had a good friend who had a stutter and he thought it was hilarious. So we thought, let's just do this. And we did it in our act, Morris Minor Majors, and then people picked up on it.
Loved it. So anyway, we're looking at this as a piece of pop history.
Yes.
That's our excuse. Here it is, Morris Minor and the Majors, Tony Hawk's acoustic Stutter Rap.
Yeah, okay, here we go. Let's see how we get on. Now, hey, there, people, won't you lend an ear? Cause I've a story to tell, and I'm telling it here. I was born in a town in the great UK, from a baby to a boy to a man today. And I'm a musical man, and I'm a man at first, but I got a little problem, and it's getting worse. My life was so well planned, surviving and a jiving in a funk band. Cause rapping, it's my bread and butter, but it's hard to rap when you're born with a stutter. Well, no one's ever seen what I mean from the age of 13. We've all been caught in a mouse trap. So join with us and do the stir, 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 rap.
Tony Hawk! Amazing!
XFM. What the heck does Jason eat before he goes to bed? You know, yeah. To get dreams like that.
Kind of cheese.
Because cheese gives you crazy dreams, doesn't it? That's the rumour. That's the big thing about cheese, what everyone knows about cheese.
It must be like really mild cheddar, really boring cheese.
Just Dairy or something.
Yeah, Philadelphia. Yeah.
Or not cheese at all. Maybe it's cheese intolerant.
Ah, right. That might explain it.
Why don't we get a selection of cheeses and send them to Jason's house? Different cheese. We'll send him 7 cheeses, and we'll see which cheeses gives him the most boring dream.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be great?
That'd be amazing.
If you're a cheese manufacturer with at least 7 different types of cheese, why not get in touch with the show? We'll do cheese dreams. I'm not very good at naming those ones. Come on, Dave. You're brilliant at these. It's got dreams in it. It's got cheese in it.
Dream cheesy. Dream, instead of dream easy.
Sleep cheesy.
Yeah.
Sleep easy.
Sleep cheesy. Yeah, it's good.
Let's do this off air.
We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet. XFM.
Stephen, are you there?
I'm here. Hello.
Hello, confirmed listener. Stephen, are you well?
I'm very well. Not too bad, thank you.
Excellent. Well, the computer chose you at random to play Quizface today. Are you familiar with Quizface?
No, not at all, no.
I see. You really should know the rules by now, Stephen.
I know.
You should know the rules. So if you are ready then, Stephen, let's get quizzical.
Quizface.
So, Stephen, first of all, we need to whittle down the other possible contestants in order to find you the ultimate co-player. I'm going to ask you to choose wisely, Stephen, and use your skill and your knowledge of previous Quizface contestants to find your ideal playing partner. Now, I'm going to ask you to get your listener pad out, your Quizface listener pad. If you could just turn to the section marked Quizface, you should see a blue section. And by now, you should, of course, have left space in the margins for any comments and or suggestions.
Definitely.
Have you done that, Stephen? Have you done that now?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, all right. We have the last 7 months' worth of Quizface contestants also on the line, Stephen. You should know where you are, sort of, with this, and also where you're trying to end up. So, as always, let's start to whittle. Okay, we're going back to March, Stephen. Quizface in March. Sam or Joe? Quickly, do you want Sam or Joe?
I say Joe.
Joe, right. Sam, you're out. Joe remains.
Bye.
Whittle.
Okay, Joe remains now. We're pairing Joe up with Adam from February. Joe or Adam?
Adam.
You're going with Adam?
Yeah.
Okay, that means Joe is out. Adam, we'll see you at boot camp. Shuttle leaves in 5.
Come on.
Whittle.
Let's reset and get set. The only way to get set is, of course, to reset. You must have heard me say that before. Whittle me this. Do you want Paul or Dan?
I'm going to go with Dan.
Going with Dan. He's going with Dan, everybody.
Whittle protector.
Oh. Okay, Stephen. Just get your listener pad out once more, please.
All right.
You've gone with Dan. So this is a question on Dan, but Dan immediately played his whittle protector. Now, as you know, you can only whittle Dan away if you were listening closely and making notes as normal during the important broadcast on which Dan featured. So, computer, choose a category.
Quibbling Quivalry.
Oh, it's this again. It's the old favourite, isn't it, Classic. Stephen? The old favourite. The category is Quibbling Quivalry. And here is your question on Dan. Dan has one brother he barely sees. Now, is the reason for this his brother Dan's barely hidden jealousy at the relative ease with which, you know, Dan has climbed the corporate ladder in the key areas of innovation pipeline, profitability and shareholder returns at Procter & Gamble? at their new base in Enfield. Or is it because Dan suspects his brother's new wife, the Lithuanian one, has impure designs on the family business? Just cast your mind back. Just look through your listener pad. And which, what did he say back then in April?
Should be there
in
the,
just look in the margin. You're going with what? You're going with
the Lithuanian one, the second one.
You're saying it's because he has a problem with his brother's new wife?
Yep.
Yes! Oh. Absolutely. Absolutely. His new wife is a terrible woman. Well done. So that leaves us with Dan as your co-player. Are you happy with that, Stephen?
Yeah, that's fine, yeah.
Great. So I'm going to ask each of you to take it in turns to complete a well-known phrase. I will give you the first word. Dan will give you the second word. You will then pause dramatically and give us the third word, thus completing this well-known phrase. So, okay. Here we go. We
are scientists.
You're saying we are. You're saying we are scientists. Saying we are scientists. Well, that is a phrase. As you know, we go to a tie-break situation when this happens on Quizface between Matt and Dave. So I'm going to give you the phrase one more time, gentlemen. And it's the first one to buzz in with the correct answer. Matt, you will be playing for Stephen in this situation. David, you'll be playing for Dan. Your names are your buzzers. We are
Matt
XFM.
He's done it!
Wow! Woo! Turns out not only has Stephen never listened to Quizface before, this is the first time he's ever listened to XFM. Stephen, thank goodness Matt got there for you. Thank goodness Matt got there for you and got the answer correct. Although at the same time, I am afraid we are going to have to impose a 5-minute listener ban.
Oh.
5-minute listener ban.
So, Stephen, just remain on the line, please, for 5 minutes. You will hear complete silence. And then one of us may get back to you with your prize. We
lovely.
Are... What, Stephen?
XFM. Thank you.
We are...
XFM. Hello, it's Reese Darby here. So, I've been told to apologise. I'm just calling up from the New Zealand consulate. There's a bit of a misunderstanding. I've just finished a radio interview, and on the way out, I picked up a sandwich just as I was passing through the lunch area, which I thought was a sort of a green room scenario where anyone could enjoy themselves comfortably. Took one, kept walking. Very nice, by the way. It was a very delicious ham sandwich. Didn't think anything of it. And then next thing I know, I'm being escorted by security down to the New Zealand consulate. So it's really spun out of control. I've just got a statement to read here. I'm very sorry. It's an apology from the bottom of my heart. It's going out to XFM and also Global Radio as a whole, which is the parent company, I believe, which structures all the stations. Is that all I have to say? Okay. And just as a final, sorry, I've actually made a sandwich and I've been told to bring it in. Couldn't get any ham, so it's just a salad sandwich, just a light lettuce sandwich, and I've written on there too with a pen, sorry. So hope that's okay, guys. All the best for the Olympics. Go Great Britain!
We are...
XFM.
So what started as just a little an off-the-hand remark after saying that we should send Jason, confirmed listener Jason, a bunch of cheese to see what he dreams of, has turned into an amazing sort of text response from the listeners. Do you want to hear some of the things that they think we should call this feature here on the XFM Breakfast Show? This is great. Gorgondoza. Well done. Ed and Bromley. Dairy dream at dream cheese instead of cream cheese, says Tim in Wiltshire. Cheddar bedhead, says Luke in Seal. All these are amazing. Because it's Jason's boring dreams, what about cheese board? Very nice. Neil, what's your name for the feature?
Sweet dreams are made of cheese.
Who are we to disagree?
We're expecting a laugh there, Neil, but you just gave us nothing.
Sorry, mate.
It worked. XFM.
FM.
This will sound controversial. I feel sorry for Christians. Now, you see, that sounds controversial. You should have seen Matt's face there. Let me turn this around. When you consider all these people in the Bible Belt making them look bad with their sometimes crazy statements.
Right.
Rescued it. Rescued it. And it's because, you know, there's always this debate about evolution, you know. I think most people, no matter what they believe, they kind of, you know, they look at the evidence for evolution and they go, this all seems to make sense to me, you know. Right. Scientific sense. Facts are at play. But there are these kids who are being taught something quite extraordinary at the moment in the Bible Belt in America. And they're not into evolution at all, those guys, right? They won't accept any of it. They think it's a bunch of carbuncles, don't they? They think we're ninny hammers.
Yeah.
And so what they've done is they've got this this new textbook out which teaches kids that the Loch Ness Monster is real.
Right.
Now, the clue's in monster, isn't it? Because I'm not sure monsters... monsters aren't really... You don't see many monsters, do you?
No.
Not many monsters running about. But these guys are going, well, Loch Ness Monster, there's your evidence. There is your evidence against evolution. And because they reckon, you know, that that Noah's flood only happened, you know, 4,000 years ago.
Right.
And they say that, yeah, you know, if dinosaurs existed millions of years ago and the flood only happened 4,000 years ago, seems unlikely, you know, that there'd be dinosaurs, you know, roaming about, unless you consider the Loch Ness Monster. And they're saying that the Loch Ness Monster is a dinosaur and that therefore the fact that it exists, which by the way it doesn't, is proof that evolution did not happen.
Right,
okay. So kids are going to be taught that that the Loch Ness Monster is out there.
So they're using something that hasn't been proven as proof of something.
Yeah. So it says, scientists are becoming more convinced of the existence of the Loch Ness Monster. Nessie has been recorded on sonar, described by eyewitnesses, and photographed by others. I'm not sure if they've used any photographs. And I'm not sure about the eyewitnesses. I'm not sure that's really... No. That's not scientific fact, is it?
No.
But there's going to be kids roaming around, coming to Scotland, going to Inverness, to check out the Loch Ness Monster. And it must infuriate, kind of, you know, the vast majority of Christians, I would say, yeah, that this is being taught. But it made me think, what did you believe? What did you believe as a kid that, you know, that perhaps you've worked out isn't real? I think monsters is probably a big one, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think monsters is one of the big ones.
It's a hard sell for any parent, a monster. Yeah,
exactly. Someone I knew, or someone I heard of, their dad used to drive, and I don't know why I know this detail, but a bronze Volvo. He would pretend that the cigarette lighter was a turbo boost button.
Oh, that's good.
And so every time he's driving the kids back from school, whatever, he goes, should we do the turbo? Should we do turbo? Only when it was safe, mind.
Nice.
And he'd press the cigarette lighter button thing, and then at the same time, jam his foot on the accelerator just for a moment, just to give it a little turbo boost. And the kids thought he had a magic car, like Kit from Knight Rider.
That's great, yeah.
What about you?
I do a similar thing to my nieces. You know when you've got the handheld volume controls on the steering wheel?
Yeah.
I, like, raise one hand in the air to change the volume of the radio as I drive along. Because they can't see you clicking it.
Like an audio conductor.
Yeah, it's like, here we go, and it gets louder, and it goes...
That's great. So they believe that you are a magic radio man.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
It's extraordinary. Dave, what about you?
Well, to protect my innocent mind as a child, my parents made me believe that
it's worked.
Yeah.
You've still got it.
That a man's private parts were called a wicket.
Really?
Yeah, but they forgot to ever reveal or kind of come clean that this wasn't actually a commonly used term.
A wicket.
So I was using this up until 12, 13 years old.
Really?
And someone then finally pulled me up on it and said, Dave, I don't think anyone else calls it that.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, I don't think anyone else calls it that. No. Everyone, as far as I'm concerned, calls them gentlemen's agreements.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. But you called your gentleman's agreement a wicket.
Yeah.
Oh, man, you don't want an LBW, do you?
We are XFM.
Shall we get the good news in the studio? That little rattling you heard. Was the poor microphone technique I've work experience, Steve. We've not got there to that part of the experience, have we?
Yeah, no, he hasn't learnt that.
Correct microphone handling. And the reason Steve's been handling the mics is because Steve's going to do good news in a moment. But first, Dave, what's your good news?
Good news, guys.
Yeah.
The ping pong tables recently installed in London's glittering Leicester Square are here for weeks, apparently.
Aye.
And although I lost to a complete stranger yesterday afternoon, a game which got bizarrely competitive as work experience Steve and Matt Dyson looked on, I'm confident that with a few days' worth of rigorous training, I'll be back to my best, which, unfortunately, is still nowhere near Dyson's unbelievable ping-pong skills.
Really? Dyson, you did a ping-pong?
Quite nifty on the table, yeah.
Is that
I don't like to talk about it, but yeah.
You don't want to talk about it? Okay, sorry. Sorry, I didn't realise. Sorry, you should have said. Sorry, dude, I didn't realise you didn't want to talk about you being good at ping-pong.
That's very embarrassing.
I had no idea you didn't want to talk about that. Can we talk about why you don't want to talk about that?
We can talk about it, really.
Yeah. Oh, we can talk about it now? Yeah. Well, we're not going to. Steve, what's your good news?
Good news, guys.
Yeah.
After many tantrums and weeks of tears,
yeah,
I finally earned my fifth and final gold star for sleeping all the way through.
Oh, well done.
Jerry and Malcolm are proud. And today, I'm off to get the sizzling cool Aqua Power XR75 water gun for Cub Scouts.
Oh, that's great. You're still a scout. That's lovely. What lovely good news. What did you have for tea last night? Was it lasagna, probably?
It was lasagna, yeah.
Side salad or just lettuce and...
It's just lettuce and cucumber.
Squash?
I always have squash.
Yeah.
But I had it in a pint glass last night.
Did you?
Instead of the normal plastic.
One of Malcolm's pint glasses.
Yeah.
Did you make a joke about it?
Yeah, because all the bubbles on top looked a bit like
the foam,
on
the
beer.
Foam you get on beer. Did you eat in front of the TV or at the dinner table?
At the dinner table. We only eat in front of the TV on Fridays.
Okay. XFM. Good morning, good morning, good morning. It is 8:48 on Thursday here on the XFM Breakfast Show. Because it's 8:48 on Thursday, if you're a regular listener, you will all know now to get your copies of this week's More magazine out. That's what we do every Thursday at 8:48. It's the More magazine. In this week's magazine, pictures of Lucy Mecklenburg and Mario, they're on there. Dubai holiday. As Channy, the editor, says in her introduction, her body is amazing, her man is hot, the girl has it all. Also stories in this week's More magazine, you can rent a house in the trees in Cornwall, that's page 80. Rejection can be good for you, we'll get to that later, page 84. And also a recipe from Jamila Jamil on page 91 for chicken chow mein. But if you wouldn't mind, everybody, just stop what you're doing and just turn to page 35. You a moment to do that, and you'll see immediately a picture of Andrew Garfield, won't you? Wow. You're all looking at that now. Andrew Garfield, of course, the Amazing Spider-Man, and he was on this important broadcast just last week. Here's a clip, in fact, and we've got a gift for you.
No.
Yes, we've got this for you. It's an England shirt, an official England shirt, but check
no.
it out.
No.
Oh, what's on the back?
You are joking.
What's on the back?
It's the name of a very famous cat. That is so, so nice. Honestly, thank you so much.
Not at all. You can wear that at your leisure.
XFM is my favourite radio station.
So there you go, that was Andrew Garfield on the programme. He said that XFM is his favourite radio station when he's in town. He listens to the Mighty X. The next day he sent us some champagne.
He did.
He had such a good time on the show.
Lovely gesture.
So as you know, if you are looking at your copy of More Magazine, he is this week's We So Would feature. And when you turn from the first double page spread onto the second double page spread, so there's four pages we're talking about here, the regular feature, When I Met. And these are the sort of testimonials from people who've met Andrew over the years. The first one is from Tessa Harrison, 19. I've been lucky enough to meet him twice. First bumped into him in London's West End and asked him for a photo. He was very sweet about it.
Oh.
The second one I met Andrew is from Chris Hewitt, who's 35. He says, I've tracked Andrew every step of the way along the road to becoming Spider-Man. He's charmingly awkward. A lovely thing. And then you get to the third of these When I Met Andrews. And this is what it says. Andrew was an absolute gentleman when visiting my radio station's breakfast show. He even sent us champers and a handwritten card the following day, thanking the team for such a fun and entertaining interview, which makes Andrew Garfield one of our very favourite guests. And at the bottom, just under a lovely picture of him, it says, Dave Masterman, 30. They got your age wrong as well.
You're kidding me.
Dave Masterman, 30.
No.
Yeah, they've looked at that and gone, these are very mature thoughts. Couldn't possibly be a 27-year-old. And there's the picture, the new photograph of you, the one that really looks like you're staring into the middle distance, about to tell a lady either you love her or you're going to burn her house down. It's a mixture of very kind of sultry and also hugely sinister. And it's right next to a picture of Andrew Garfield in his skin-tight Spider-Man outfit. So, I mean, you've made it now, Dave. You're in More Magazine this week, in the When I Met Andrew Garfield section.
I've never been in a gossip mag before. I've never been in a magazine before. This is a great day.
It's a good day for you.
It's a great day.
Just annoying that they've said you're 30.
Yes. That's all right, though. That's all right.
What a lovely thing. Well, maybe Andrew likes the older guy. Who knows? We are XFM. So we asked you this morning to text us 83936. Well, things you were taught as a child. Things you were taught that obviously turned out not to be entirely true. This is because thousands of kids in the US are in the Bible Belt are going to be taught that the Loch Ness Monster is probably real.
It's taught it as fact.
Taught it as fact.
It's
taught
fact.
It as fact. It's a fact. It's a fact. That's what's happened. They say, if the flood was millions of years ago, then that would be ridiculous. because then how would the sea monster have survived?
Yeah, the family nest
How did it get to the lock?
Yeah, exactly. The family nest wasn't a cartoon, it was a documentary.
It was, yeah, along with Harry and the Hendersons. So, we asked you what was going on. What in your childhood? Matt, what did people believe as a kid?
You mentioned the pita bread one. We should just do this one.
Yeah, earlier.
Some of them have a reason, like, to try and scare people off doing bad things.
Yeah.
You know,
pita bread is notoriously healthy.
This is a strange
It's a flat bread.
Brad.
Yeah.
Brad says, I believe pita breads were horses' tongues up until some kind of ridiculous age. Damn my 80s parents.
That's amazing. Pita bread, what is this? It's a horse's tongue. All right, I'll have two. Also on the subject of horses, Franken Vauxhall says, my dad told me for years that horses slept in trees. And I believed him. Until I think this girl is a grown-up. Lots of people's mums seem to be chasing their youth. You know, they look at their child and they go, this is a symbol of getting older, and with each year that passes, my life becomes less important, theirs becomes more. So to hang on to it, they tell their kids that they're all like 16. So many of your mums have lied about being 18 or 21 until you were pretty much 18 or 21 and able to work out the maths. Gareth, this is a disturbing one. Morning, gentlemen. Whenever my kids ask me if we can go to Disneyland, I tell them we can't because it burnt down. It went wrong, though. They then told their school friends, and parents' evening was very interesting. I thought as a grown man, I was pretty much finished being told off by teachers, but no. Confirm this to Mark, what is yours?
Our family used to go to Spain every year, and we used to go self-catering, and I always figured that was the place we were heading to.
He thought self-catering was a town in Spain.
Lovely resort.
Where are we off to, self-catering? Oh, great! I love it there. Yeah, lovely weather. Don't like the food, though. It's terrible. Go on.
Dom in Windsor. Tinks says, on my sixth birthday, there was a Wonder Woman film on the telly, and my mum told me she'd asked the TV company to specifically schedule it for him because it was his birthday. 25 years later, he still believed that was the case.
Is that right?
He was devastated when he found it was just coincidence.
Yeah. Dave used to call his gentleman's agreements his wicket, which is an interesting one. Rachel's sister misheard what she was supposed to refer to the equivalent as, and for years, until she was a grown-up, thought it was called the joiner, which is a lovely, it's lovely. It's also, it's a trade, isn't it? Something to fall back on. Matt?
My older brothers went to Madame Tussauds, says Gareth, and they convinced me with photo evidence that they'd met Mr. T and Superman.
I got the same photo.
He had to go there for several birthdays to make up for it.
That's good. And confirm us to Nick, what's yours?
As a child, my dad told me that sailors went out every day to put salt into the sea to make it salty. I believe this for years.
That's so sweet, though. Some of these are so sweet. Let's have one that's not. As a child, I was once told that if I looked a chicken in the eye, it would go crazy. Chase me, then jump on my back. The three steps. I love that. So specific. Go crazy. The chase. They love the chase. Yeah, and then it would jump specifically on his back. I still believe this to be true up until the age of 17 when I was finally informed this would not actually happen. That's from Ellie in North London. I love that she had to be informed that it would not happen. She would imagine she's just raising her confidence levels to finally stare at a chicken. Ellie, come into the studio one day. We'll get a chicken. You can stare at it and we'll see if it happens. I hope that does not go wrong. Last week on the important broadcast, I let you know that it was getting a little more difficult to get my infant son to join in with Early Learning X-List. And it's sort of, it's difficult because he's getting better and better at it. And yet, his interest is waning.
Yeah.
His interest is waning. Just as our interest has peaked by this glory of a feature.
A lot of artists, unfortunately.
It does happen. And so there were some musical differences last week. For example, me trying to get him to sing the song and him just inexplicably shouting custard donut constantly. I don't know where he got it from. He'd never had a custard donut at that point. He's never shown an interest in any donuts, custard or otherwise. And then he didn't mention it for a week. And then we sat down last night and I was trying to get him to sing, you know, We Are Young, that bit. And, well, here's what happened.
Can you say, we are young?
Custard donut.
Can you say, we are young?
Custard donut.
Can you say, we are young?
Custard donut.
Can you sing?
Custard donut.
Feel all right.
Feel
right. So I got that bit. That was all right. But yeah, very much. Are there any songs about custard donuts? Because I think that is the direction we're going to be heading
not
in.
Sure, but I do fancy a custard donut. Though.
Well, of course you do. We all love a custard donut.
XFM.
In Brazil, inmates in a prison, right? And you know how crowded Brazilian prisons are. Not from personal experience, I hope. But, you know, they are extraordinarily crowded. So they want to shorten people's sentences, but they don't just want to shorten them, because that'd go against the whole point, wouldn't it? Just going, all right, you can have a year less or whatever. So they're doing a reward system.
Right.
So if you read a book in jail in Brazil, they'll cut 4 days off your sentence.
Whoa.
But you have to prove you've read it. You can't just sort of flick through it and stuff. So, you know, you've got to write an essay about it afterwards, which must make correct use of paragraphs, be free of corrections, use margins and legible joined-up writing. They're very specific about paragraphs. They're very. That seems to be a big deal for the prison authorities there, paragraphs. So inmates in 4 federal prisons, which hold some of Brazil's most notorious criminals, will be able to read up to 12 works of literature, philosophy, science, or classics, and trim 48 days off their sentence every single year.
It's not bad.
I think it's all right.
I think it's a good idea.
I think it's a terrific idea, arming them with knowledge, things like that.
Yeah.
Although, it depends what books they're reading. Do you know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
If it's a science book, then fantastic.
Yeah.
If it's how to commit a crime, probably not so good.
Not Clockwork Orange.
not Clockwork Orange. If it was the autobiography of Katie Price,
yeah,
they should probably get 8 days off.
Yeah.
8 days off.
Really?
Because those 4 days will be the longest 4 days of their life.
Yeah.
So it should count for more, I think, in the great scheme of things.
Yeah.
And a special panel will decide which inmates are eligible to participate in a program dubbed Redemption Through Reading. I think this is good.
Nice.
Could we do that over here, do you think?
I think we should introduce it, because it's good as well. Like, the time will go quicker if you're reading a book anyway. So a lot of prisoners read books.
It's a win-win situation, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, let's think of other ways that we can... Other things that would be valuable for Brazilian prisoners to do. And then we can put it to the Brazilian authorities.
Okay.
They do listen to XFM. they really don't listen to XFM.
XFM.
Bammy Analytics. So let's look back at today's important broadcast and work out what we've learnt today. I can tell you that during today's show, we played our longest ever custard donut, coming in at 6.38 seconds.
Custard donut!
Only here on XFM. Matt.
Well, after the team once again struggled in an on-air brainstorm for ideas for the feature where we give confirmed listener Jason different types of cheese to improve his dreams, you guys didn't let us down. A plethora of potential titles, including this splendid one from Neil.
Sweet dreams are made of cheese.
Who are we to disagree?
Yes, and let's just celebrate that moment with another of Jason's boring dreams.
I had a dream recently where I went overseas. I was going to India to visit the Taj Mahal, but I got there and it was too expensive.
So there you go, just the magic and power of dreams.
XFM.
So there you go, that was podcast number 48 from the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace. And as Matt always says, YOLO, don't you? You're always saying that,
don't you? Yeah, always, especially at peak times.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You don't want to get any dirty lickings, though, do you?
Don't ask me about that.
allow it. We'll be back next week. We love you. Allow it.
Yes, we are XFM.
Annie Wallace.